Well, it's the moment of truth as we check in with Wayne Cleveland with the Texas Grain Sorghum Producers on our new phone. Are you there, man?
I am here. I'm thinking that you're sounding much more clear this morning.
Well, that's because I took some cold medicine. Oh, you mean the phone, not me.
You're going to be here all week, right?
Going to be where?
Me too. After years of battling our internet server down here, Brightspeed, I got the Starlink this week, and then I was trying to get my printer on it yesterday, and just melted the whole thing down. So now I'm just kind of back on my old Brightspeed because they haven't unhooked it yet. But it's got a real telephone line with it, which I used to use fax and to fax things and get faxes, and I hadn't gotten one of those in a long time, and got all that unhooked. It's weird. Having grown up with a phone on the wall, you know, big deal for us was getting that 20-foot extension cord on the phone so we could talk to people and our parents couldn't hear us. But little did I know, when you grow up in a house that's about 800 square feet, you can hear anything anytime.
Hey, if you were in the studio, you'd see the old phone behind me in case this thing didn't work, because yesterday the phone dude said, I don't know how that's going to work. I'm like, just hook the thing up. It works with the old phone, so the new one should be better.
Yeah, exactly. Anything new should be better, right? And that's me. I've got my Starlink disc sitting out in the yard, which looks really nice, and then got a cable running. And I thought, I need to put that up. And I thought, no, I'm going to let those guys come do it because it's installation. And we've got converted our barn into an apartment, so we need the internet machine out there also, and I don't want to pay two times for internet, so we're gonna get all that set up. But I don't know that we're better off. We're probably better off with the old landline, you know, just the old one.
Are you at the house then?
Yeah, I am. Is it kind of falling off bad?
No, sounds a lot okay? Better. See, we have Starlink here. We took your advice and got Starlink because our internet was probably the worst in 52 states.
Well, it wasn't my advice. I'm kind of going long, and I really don't care. Occasionally I send a big email, you know, or something with some charts or graphs or presentations, but I don't stream movies. I don't watch movies. I have the Instagram, and that's it for social media. But you know, I don't care. But my wife, she does. So we're gonna do that. But it is good because it's quick. And then I didn't realize that you can use the internet for your phone. And I am on a lot of phone calls. So just having the phone internet, I think, is gonna be worth it.
That's what we're doing right here, Wayne. We got you on Starlink on the phone.
I know. And I think you're on Starlink here now. I think it's working, but I'm just going to have to hard reset it. But, you know, this is all kind of too much for me. I'm 60.5 now, Todd. I'm quickly approaching 61, and I'm getting to where I don't really care about the technology anymore. You know, I need a new computer, but I really just don't mess with it. So I kind of nurse this guy along and tap it every once in a while. I think it's 5 or 6 years old, which I'm not sure is old or not for a computer. But I do need a new iPad because I love to read newspapers. You can't get a real newspaper anymore. So unless you're in a foreign country, then you can get newspapers, which is kind of odd. But, you know, I'm just not, I don't know. I guess you have to be up to speed with technology. I don't. I remember 35 years ago having an in-depth conversation about can we afford a fax? Do we really need a fax at work? And here we are. Nobody even knows what a fax is anymore. My kids don't know what a fax is. And my grandkids certainly don't. So
hey, we had a fax in the studio 11 years ago, Wayne, and it kept going off saying you got a free cruise coming.
Yeah. Those people seep in, and I've noticed an overload of that. You know, today my phone rings and it just says spam, you know, and now these guys will call and they'll call, and they'll call sometimes five times a day from a similar number. And they'll leave a little message, like it won't be anything, but it'll be like a 3-second blank, which is annoying. And hopefully somebody gets that figured out. But, you know, by the time they get all this figured out, man, I'm going to be having a flip phone that doesn't have any of this on it. And I look forward to that day, man, when I can just you know, and I don't really like to talk to people on the phone. I had that conversation last night.
I agree with you, Wayne. You're going to have a flip phone. I'm going to have no phone.
Yeah, that's good. We actually went up to regional dinner last night, Texas Grain Feed, and had some friends, old friends from the elevator business that were up there. And Robert Braden runs that now, and he's got a good following of people. So we were up there and ran into a lot of people from coast in the valley. Some of the people were there, some solicitors. Those guys are in the valley, are in full harvest right now. They're having a little bit of a difficult time. They've had 3 or 4 inches of rain with the tropical storms and or hurricane or whatever went through there, came through at absolutely the wrong time for them. And as sorghum goes, sorghum that's mature and ready to go, you know, 1% moisture, 15, if it doesn't see the light of day for 3 days, unfortunately, it starts blooming in the head, which is really pretty, but it's not good for sorghum. So seeing a little damage. The good news is that probably 40% of the crop is still green, what they call green. So it still has a high moisture content, can kind of wick some of that moisture out of the ground. Upper coast, I think, survived pretty well. They just started desiccating sorghum. They'll be in harvest next week. And hopefully we got this system out of the way early. It seems like a little system always comes through when there's a good crop. But boy, the growers down there are really on edge with the weather patterns, you know, talking about El Nino, likewise the other crops. You know, corn, of course, does good. I had a guy in Dimmitt one time, a German farmer there, told me the way you grow corn is you go plant your corn, you put a catfish in the middle of the field, and you come back 125 days later and the catfish is still alive, you probably have a good corn crop.
Who said that, Wayne?
It was a guy. His last name was Grotegut. I can't remember which one it was, but the Grotegutts are, you know, good farmers there, and kind of an old family from around there. And I forgot which one it was. I can see his face, but he said that's how you grow good corn. And I think it's right. You know, I think there's another lot of skill in it, but, you know, those guys down there, they're going to have a good corn crop, which is good, because corn kind of seals itself up with a husk and then it falls over. The head falls over, and, you know, it's hard for rain to get to it. A few other things they do, but we're seeing, you know, other things we're doing this week is China. Of course, we're continuing to work on China. The comments are due on the China, on the Board of Trade that President Trump has set up, making our comments. Spent a good part of the day yesterday going through those and making recommendations on our behalf for our farmers. We'll have a big group coming over pretty soon. We've seen, since we got back from China, we've seen about 8 or 9 boatloads of sorghum sell. What we're noticing also is those boats aren't necessarily selling to government agencies, but Hang Tung has bought a couple of boats, which is a private company. They still have a 10% tariff from the trade war, as well as a 2% VAT. Of course, we want all of that gone. We've got to keep the VAT, value added tax, at 2%. But when we get rid of the 10% tax, I think you'll see sorghum sell at exponential pace. They're out of that. When we were there, we went over to Mongolia as well. I've been working with the executive director of their feed grain association. They wanted to come over. So, we're going to host those guys, 12 Mongolians, bringing them here to Central Texas to see grain sorghum crop, as well as our beef cattle industry. They were very interested in buying genetics. Of course, Mongolia is landlocked between a rock and a hard spot between Russia and China. So basically anything they get has to go through Russia or China. So that's kind of limited down to China now. So they really are kind of hamstrung. But we're very interested in genetics. It'd be hard to get cattle there or any animal for that reason. So what they're interested in is obviously buying embryos, putting in their cows and increasing their cattle herds. So that's none of my business. I don't get paid for any of that. But anytime we can sell something agricultural from the great state of Texas, I'm all about that. And, you know, we're seeing that price start to creep up a little bit. Got a lot of good stuff going on with ethanol, cleared the House, headed over to the Senate. That's kind of in Tim Lust's shop over there. Alyssa Gillum went to China and Mongolia with us. Alyssa's the director of legislative affairs over there. Does an absolutely wonderful job. Need to get her on someday. She really is really a bonus to that organization. Has a lot of energy, a lot of know and political affairs. Her and her husband moved to Lubbock a couple of months ago, so she's getting nestled in there. But good team there. So and then we'll start making legislative calls next week. When I say we, I mean Ty, our legislative director, starting to make some calls. We'll have some ask of the legislature when they meet, get going in February. So we got a lot going on and have a lot of trade groups that want to come in, have a good sorghum crop going. The weather's changing. Of course, today's going to be a little warm, but, you know, all in all, looks pretty good right now, and I hope farmers on the high plains are feeling the same.
Well, we've had 2 to 3 inches of rain around here since about the first week of June, so things are a lot better.
Man, that's just wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. You know, it just makes everybody feel a little better. It's kind of rainy here now. I think we're supposed to have a really high temperature day around 99, which we're wet, and the humidity's probably 75-80%, so you just get soaking wet when you step outside. But you know, as I tell my kids all the time, things happen to them. Maybe this is the worst thing we'll ever deal with. And, you know, our problem is just that it's humid. We're pretty blessed to have just that problem. But, you know, hopefully this weather straightens out. Our growers get back in the fields and get into harvest. They got a wonderful crop down there. They were cutting some 6,000-7,000-pound milo early. You know, of course, it weighs a little bit because of the moisture, but, you know, we're looking at a 5,000-6,000-pound milo crop all across the valley and the coast. Hopefully we get this agreement with China hitched up and moving by the time that crop gets into storage and we get it. I had dinner with Stephen Smith last night, who, of course, buys grain for ADM. They've got boats lined up at the port, so hopefully things are getting a little more normalized now, Todd, and we can get this China thing behind us. We'll get the Iran deal behind us, start getting diesel prices down, fertilizer prices down, get our guys back into a good profitability range.
It's only 103 here yesterday. It's only going to be 75 today, so it's going to feel like a snowstorm coming or something.
Yeah, that's just incredible, isn't it? And you know, you start thinking in terms of agriculture, that's really hard on cows, you know, particularly when it's wet like this. And I guess you guys are a little more dry, but those cool nights and hot days, they can cause a lot of problems. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the cattle world now with the dairy industry and the HPAI influenza and worrying about screw worms and, you know, all of that. So it's not like our world's very calm right now in agriculture, Todd. There's a lot going on, and you want as many people as you can, good people as you can, in the fight, because these things happen quick and they can make or break. And, you know, our farmers have been awful patient, as we point out to the administration. We've been awful patient with all of this trade business, and we expect to be rewarded for our patience and our patriotism while working through these things. And administration's been good, but our industry's sick right now. And we need some wins pretty quick, and you know, hopefully they're just around the corner.
From one Starlink to the next, dude, sounds good this morning. It's nice not having to complain about the phone line.
Yeah, it is. Just having a fit on the internet's pretty cool stuff. So
pretty cool.
My phone's not even sitting in the awkward position it usually is. I just kind of laid it down here, and it's working. So we're all good for a couple of days.
All right, Wayne, give out your contact for you guys, and we'll chat next week.
Yeah, I'll be in the office today. We'd love to talk about sorghum or whatever. My cell phone number is 254 541-5375. Thanks, Todd.